Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It's Sissy Winans, Believe For It on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We're going to try this again. We've been trying to connect with Pastor Thabang Mofokeng. So we're going to try it one more time. Morudi, good afternoon. Morudi, can you hear me?
Good afternoon, Alison Poe, and good afternoon to listeners of Atwad.
Lovely. We can hear you very clearly, Morudi. You can go right ahead at the doorstep of victory.
All right, Alison Poe. Well, the thing that I want to talk about, Alison Poe, today is the topic at the doorstep of victory. And I have something there to say what happens at the doorstep of victory. And I am drawing from the book of Joshua, chapter 6. There's a story there of the people of Israel, the army of Israel, just approaching the land of promise, Canaan. And this, that they then find the city of Jericho being the very first city that they had to deal with. And so that's what we're looking at. And that this is why I say at the doorstep of victory, these people, having left several decades before the land of Egypt and having been delivered from their terrible life that they had lived, being taken through the wilderness for the many years that they traveled in the wilderness and gathering the experiences that they had. And now they were just about to enter the land of promise. So you could actually say they were just about to be indeed victorious. Their journey from Egypt, from the enslavement of Egypt to the promised land was just, they were just at the doorstep of entry into that land of promise. So at the doorstep of victory, then what? And I'm raising the question what, because I'm looking at how the Lord instructs them in chapter 6, how when they are confronted with the city of Jericho, which we are told how well fortified this place was. It was such a fortified city that the walls could have 4 to 6 chariots side by side traveling on them, and it was an impenetrable kind of city. And this was their very first challenge. You would think that sometimes that, you know, you want to give people an easier task and an easier challenge just to motivate them before they enter into further things. But Israel, when it gets into the land, when it approaches the boundaries of the land of promise, just at entry, meet with such a formidable kind of a challenge, the city of Jericho, a heavy, heavy challenge for them that they needed to deal with. And of course, they dealing with it, facing up to the issues surrounding that city and the instruction that God gives would itself do something to the life of Israel. Now, I am more interested in extrapolating, taking out of this whole experience some interesting insights for our own lives as we live daily, seeing what is it that we can take out of that. Of course, the story is the story of a people taking over eventually another place, another country, another place. And I thought about this earlier when I was planning this talk today, to say, you know, we are in the context of a war that is being fought somewhere else right now. So the issues involved when you talk about these things. But on the other hand, I say, look, I see whatever is going out in the world there. We are reading this, it is in the Bible, and the purpose of it being included in the Bible is for the encouragement of the people of the Lord, so that we are encouraged from the reading of this kind of development, this kind of stories and the things that happened there. So what we find in the text is that Israel had just crossed the Jordan River with Joshua at the helm. We would remember that Moses had just died and they had just mourned him. And now Joshua was the new leader leading them into the land of promise. And on the banks of the Jordan was the city Jericho, very well fortified. And God had spoken to Joshua that it should be surrendered, that they will conquer the city, that they would conquer the city. And upon conquering it, they should surrender it to him by destruction. Basically, it was consecrated unto the Lord to be destroyed. And their challenge, Israel's challenge, was that the city was very well fortified, as I've just noted. And so this was a major obstacle right at the entrance of Canaan. And obviously, it was almost as if it was daring Israel, dare come over, dare enter the land of promise and see what happens. Of course, you read in the first 11 verses, for example, of chapter 6, how the Lord instructs them. So verse 2, it says, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." This is quite an interesting situation. They are just approaching Jericho, and the Lord speaks in a manner that suggests this is already done, complete. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." And then from verse 3 follows the instructions now. The city is already delivered in terms of the Lord's speech to Joshua, and then the instructions are given. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." And I think the instruction that the Lord is giving is important, interesting, and important. Important because it sets the tone for us to know that often you would have a promise, and then you'd find that there are conditions attached to the promise. There are promises that are not conditional or conditioned on anything else to be done by people, but often the promises that you find, you also find that there is something that the people themselves must first do as a prerequisite, something to do prior, and then once they do that, basically in obedience, once they do that, then they find the promise to be true. Now, I am interested, Ausimpo, and the listeners here, at looking at certain things, few things, some of the lessons that can be learned from the story. The story can be read, but the lessons that can be learned from the story. Firstly, that a major resistance precedes a major victory. A major resistance precedes a major victory. A different way of rendering the same kind of insight is that one that says, often it gets darker before it gets, you know, brighter. That kind of a situation where things sometimes, before they clear up, actually they seem to be getting worse. Yeah. But getting worse is just a step towards actually things clearing up. Or as the other people would, as people sometimes would say, they would say the last kick of a dying horse. Mm. And the issue when they mention that is always that the power with which the horse would kick, which almost confuses whoever gets kicked or whoever is observing,
at that point, as
to conclude that, you know what, this thing is pretty much alive. But it's not. It's just about to give up. Things are about to turn. A new reality is about to dawn. So one of the lessons there, then, from the story of Israel having to be confronted with such a formidable foe in the city of Jericho is that a major resistance precedes a major victory. We could even say, make a correlation between the kind of battles that people go through and the enduring significance of the victories that come out of that. A major battle, a major struggle, obviously, when once you pass through that, what you gain out of it is quite pronounced, as opposed to a very small, something that can easily be ignored, kind of a battle, kind of a situation. The same is what you reap out of that situation, not much. So a major resistance precedes a major victory. Right in the face of immense resistance, defiant difficulty, if we may put it that way, we need to know that the Lord is present, and this we take from exactly that story, how the Lord who says, I have delivered this city into your hands, then commands these people to do some things. And as they do those things daily, walking in obedience, then they needed to know and they carried this knowledge and this assurance that as we walk in obedience to the instruction of the Lord, that which the Lord promised will soon become a reality, which will soon become a reality that we actually possess. So immense resistance, defiant difficulty, the Lord being present. It's an encouragement to every one of us that it does not matter what we be going through at any given time, that when we go through the challenges that we may be going through for whatever reason, that we never ever discount the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord is always present. He is the one who foreknows what stands in each one of our paths.
Yeah.
Every one, single one of us, there is nothing that happens to our lives, in our lives, that the Lord did not know, that somehow just came around the corner and took the Lord by surprise. What happens to the lives of the people of God is well known, has been well known to the Lord. And when we know that the Lord knows what is going on in our lives, however depressing things may be, then we can take heart in the knowledge of the Lord, who firstly knows, secondly, who is present, thirdly, who is working at our victory, you know, reconciling this whole situation with the knowledge that we possess. And that is an important thing, therefore. Basically, we could be saying, you never give up at any given time. You maintain faith, you maintain your sense of fortitude because you know the Lord is here with me. One, two, you know that the Lord who is here with you has not been taken by surprise by anything that takes place around you. But number two, we learn that God's word sometimes contradicts experiential realities, that there are experiential realities, the realities of our experience, and there are realities of the word of God. Basically, a situation, as in for where the word of God constitutes its own reality. It creates its own situation. The word creating its own situation, and that situation created by the word being different to the situation of our experiences.
Mm.
So a situation, a condition where God's word stands in contradiction sometimes to the experiential realities. And that becomes a call when we perceive the difference between what we know God to be saying and what we are going through. We are being challenged to either affirm our experiential reality against what God says, or we are being challenged to rise up beyond the realities of our experiences into the reality constituted by the word of God. And once we affirm that which God says against the experience that we are going through, already there's a way in which it could be argued we are on our way out of the situation because we no longer relate to the situation, however debilitating it may be. We no longer relate to the situation as the situation wants us to relate to it. We no longer see the situation through the eyes of somebody submerged in it, immersed in it, but we see the situation through the eyes of somebody outside of it.
Mm.
We adopt the perspective, therefore, of God. And this is what we see.
Amen.
When the Lord approaches Joshua and says, there's the city, your very first city in the land of promise that you must confront and take over. And he says, I have delivered it. This is already a done deal. I have delivered this city to you, its king, its armies, to you. However, what I am saying, that it is already delivered to you, does not mean there is nothing else for you to do. You need to now walk in obedience, holding the promise, walk in obedience, and as you walk in obedience, following the instructions that I have given, then that which I said to be the case becomes an experiential reality to you too.
Mm.
You as you follow through the instructions that I have given, you are literally turning that which remains the reality of the word in contradiction to the reality of my experience, your experience. The walk of obedience turns our experiential realities into the experiences of the word. We begin to experience the word of God becoming reality. such that, again, our situations have been conquered by the word of God. And I think that is an important thing, therefore, and the challenge that everyone of us, every single day of our lives, are faced with. This is the challenge that we are faced with every time. Do we confirm God's word? Do we walk in accordance with it? Do we hold on to the promises of the word of God? Or do we find ourselves simply just throwing away the word of God and endorsing and embracing the experiential reality of our lives? Thirdly, as a lesson, there's a demand that we exercise patience, that we exercise discipline, self-control, that we exercise faith and motivation. Israel, I can just imagine, must have been quite stressed to understand how the strategy given to Joshua was ever going to work, as in grant them victory, as in give them success. How was this kind of strategy? You are up against a city, very well fortified. You are no match yourselves. And then, despite the fact that you are no match, you are even saying, don't even fight. No, what kind of strategy is this? You say, we just march once per day, 6 days. And on the seventh day, we march 7 times. This is tiring. This is nonsensical. How does this make sense? So Israel must have been that stretched. And this is what demanded of them patience, demanded of them discipline and self-control, demanded in them the faith that needed to be exercised towards what God had said, as well as motivation. Keep motivating yourself according to what the Lord has spoken. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Why should you worry that it makes sense or it doesn't make sense? Who has said this thing? If God has said it, therefore, allow yourself to experience the sense of God as opposed to your own sense. Equally, the inhabitants of Jericho, who must have been watching the development around their city, outside their city, must have been at pains to understand what exactly was going on, what kind of strategy. I think they were amused by what Israel was doing, marching once and going back to their tent, marching once the day, going back to the tent. This was an insane kind of strategy that was bemusing, it must have been, to the people of Jericho themselves. But nevertheless, even as God would say that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, there is often great wisdom in the midst of all that nonsense, if we may put it that way. So Israel was hard-pressed to carry out the instruction that God conveyed through Joshua, a strategy that seemed not to be a strategy at all, a plan that did not make any sense, an instruction that just was mind-boggling to carry out. But of course, for a people who realized what God had already done, then they were challenged to reach out and believe that God has not disappointed us to this point. We might as well reach out again and believe again and act accordingly again and leave the results in the hands of God. And that, I think, was an important thing that they did. And of course, by their fortitude, by the fortitude of their character, that is Israel, the way they were resolved to march every single day for the number of days, and on the last day, the number of marches, 7 of them, and every other thing that the Lord had said, you know, that commitment to doing that, we can take from that that it is by the fortitude of our character based and developed on obedience to God that the righteous rule. We rule, we prevail on the basis of a character developed in obedience to God. When we do not trust God enough to allow him to take us through situations, challenge us immensely, that stretch us a lot, that try our patience, when we do not allow ourselves to be stressed in that way, then we do not, we find that we do not have what is required by circumstances for us to rule as the righteous of God. And therefore, the challenge and the word of encouragement is that we stand convinced that the Lord knows what is going on in our lives.
Amen.
We stand convinced that not only does God know about what is going on in our lives, but He is actually present. Not only is He present, He actually has a plan out of the situation. We keep the faith. We keep in step with God. We remain obedient, trustful as far as God is concerned, believing in God, and we will be seen out. This is something that applies at any given time of our lives, and therefore it is this kind of attitude and this kind of behavior by those that are called by the Lord and belong to His kingdom that indeed we find that we get to live and enjoy God's promises. The promises of God, some of them have conditions to them.
Yeah.
And if we live our lives to fulfill the conditions upon which these promises are based, then we get to enjoy the promises that have these conditions. If we are too scared and too cowardly and other things and too unbelieving to follow through and fulfill the promise, the conditions, then the promises also run away from us. And therefore, it would appear as if God is not to be trusted. But God is faithful, God is trustworthy, and His word always works out. Kamanjana Osimpo.
Thank you so much for this. Thank you. And we're just so appreciative of this line, worked out after all. In case you missed it, Joshua 6 verses 1 to 11, at the doorstep of victory. Thank you, Muruti. How do we get a hold of you?
I can be gotten hold of through email, trmofokeng@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @TabangRM.
On Twitter @TabangRM.
Yes, Alsi.
Lovely. Thank you, Murudi.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM. It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.